We're going to get into the Word today, Genesis chapter 15. We're going to begin at verse 5 and read about 7 verses, and then we're going to read 1 verse in the book of Job, chapter 28. Amen. So if everybody has it, say amen.
Amen.
Praise God. Genesis 15, verse 5 says this, "And he brought him forth abroad, and said, Look now toward heaven, and tell the stars, if thou be able to number them. And he said unto them, So shall thy seed be. He believed in the Lord and for righteousness. And he said unto him, I am the Lord that brought thee out of Ur of the Chaldees to give thee this land to inherit it. And he said, Lord God, whereby shall I know that I shall inherit it? And he said unto him, Take me a heifer of 3 years old, and a she-goat of 3 years old, a ram of 3 years old, a turtle dove, and a young pigeon. And he took unto them all these, and divided them in the midst, and laid each piece one against another. But the birds divided he not. And when the fowls came down upon the carcasses, Abraham drove them away." Job 28, verse 7 says this, "There is a path which no fowl knoweth, and which the vulture's eye hath not seen." Amen? Praise God. They're going to blast the shofar for the word. We want you to give the Lord praise, amen, for his word today. Come on, let's bless him. Hallelujah. In the sanctuary this morning. Amen? Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You may be seated today. Amen. And the Lord will allow me. I'm going to minister on this thought, driving away the vultures. Driving away the vultures. Look at your neighbor and say that. Driving away the vultures. Amen. Praise God. Job 28:7 again says, "There's a path which no fowl knows, and which the vulture's eye has not seen." Amen. Praise God. I would like to, point out this morning that there's one thing, amen, that heaven and hell, demons, God and Satan are all attracted to. You say, how can maybe all of those, amen, be grouped up and be attracted to one thing, amen? But there is, I believe, one thing that heaven, hell, demons, God and Satan are all attracted to, and that is sacrifice and commitment. Amen. All of them are attracted to sacrifice and commitment. When we look at the word sacrifice in the scriptures, in the Hebrew, it is the word zabah, and it literally means to slaughter or to kill. Amen. And when we speak about a sacrifice, when we talk about in the word, we know that, you know, there was a sacrificial system, and they had to offer animals and different sacrifice before God to get his attention. But we understand that there's been one ultimate sacrifice, and his name is Jesus, once and for all mankind. So there doesn't have to be any more literal sacrifice. But as we follow him, the Bible says that we are to take up our cross and to follow him, that we are to yield and surrender ourselves. Amen. We are to present our bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto the Lord, which is our reasonable service. So when we look at the idea of sacrifice, when it comes to us and our personal relationship and how it envelops into covenant, amen, it is things that we are willing, it is our willingness to give. When we begin to give up distractions, when we begin to give up excuses, when we begin to give the things in our life, amen, that are part of our life, that God may ask us to yield and surrender or to give to him. Amen, that is the sacrifice. We make that commitment that we are not just in this for, amen, because it's the thing to do. We are not in this just for eternity But we are in this, amen, praise God, with a commitment. We're in it for the long haul, that we are committed to our relationship with the Lord. As the word already says, the Apostle Paul said, neither height nor depth nor death, amen, or anything living, anything present, anything to come, any angels, no demons, nothing is able to separate us from the love of Christ, of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Amen. We make that commitment that I am in this thing for my life. Amen. That I have made the commitment that I've been there where I wanted to give up, where I felt like that my relationship with God did not mean as much to Him. Amen. That I have learned, amen, and grown. He loves me and I love Him. Praise God. And I have no desire to turn my back on the covenant that He gave us through the blood of Jesus Christ. And then you begin, amen, to offer up things in your life that may take the place of the attention that belongs to God, the worship, the distractions, the things, amen, that we make excuses about. Amen, that sacrifice and that commitment. Of course, God is attracted to that because He said, draw nigh to me and I will draw nigh to you. But I want to present to you this morning, amen, that not only, excuse me, is God in heaven attracted to your sacrifice and your commitment, but so is hell and the enemy. Amen. Demons are attracted to your sacrifice and your commitment. When we look at Genesis 15, we see a perfect example of this sacrifice. Amen. Abraham, as he became known, is making covenant with God. God is making covenant with Abraham. He told Abraham, he said, look up into the sky. Count the stars if you can. Number them if possible. That shall be your seed. And Abraham said, how will I know that this will come to pass? And God told him to get the animals and told him to slaughter them. Amen. And he divided them in half. Amen. And the Bible says, amen, that he prepared that sacrifice as God had asked him to. And it tells us that when the sun went down, amen, that God came down and walked in the midst of the sacrifice. God came down to show Abraham, I am making covenant with you. Amen. And as that sun went down, we saw, amen, we see in the word that he is smoke and fire. Amen. Witness walking in the midst of the sacrifice. But before the sun went down, amen, before God was able to do this, amen, the Bible says that the fowls of the air, amen, and if you read the translation, amen, and several translations, amen, read this way, the vultures came, amen, and they wanted, amen, to consume the dead animals. But the Bible says, amen, that Moses, hallelujah, began, hallelujah, to move them away. Amen. He began to drive them out so that God could come, amen, and bring the covenant sacrifice together. You see, vultures like dead flesh. Dead flesh is called carrion. And vultures, we know, like carrion. You see predatory birds such as hawks and raptors and owls and even eagles. Amen. They like living flesh. They are predators. They seek for those things that are alive. Amen. Much like lions. Lions do the same. They like living flesh. Amen. They like the things that are still alive. Amen. They like to catch them by surprise and catch them off guard. You know, much like the Bible says, Satan roams about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. You see, the enemy wants to get us before we make the sacrifice and the commitment. Can I get somebody to, amen, be with me for just a minute? Hallelujah. He likes that living flesh. And the Bible says, amen, that he is like that roaring lion. So he is a predator. He is always looking to catch somebody, to destroy them before they have the opportunity to allow God to change and transform them. Now, it's interesting about vultures that they like dead flesh. Vultures have very strong stomachs. Vultures also have a very strong sense of smell. Amen. So they can smell, amen, dead flesh. Amen. From a great distance. See, they don't hunt for prey. Vultures don't look for living things. They don't look for living flesh. They show up after things are dead. If I can say it like this, they show up after the sacrifice has been made. They don't look before the commitment and before the sacrifice has been made, but they come and show up always after the sacrifice has been completed. Hallelujah. You see, their stomach acids can neutralize dangerous pathogens. So it doesn't matter how, amen, what kind of disease or bacteria or anything that might be in that dead flesh. Their stomach acid is very potent, and it can neutralize these dangerous pathogens. Their heads are bald for a reason. Amen. Because it prevents feathers trapping bacteria while they feed on the carcasses. So there's nothing that is going to get on the way. Amen. You see, when we decide to surrender our will to God, when we decide, amen, to die to ourselves, when those of us who have made the commitment, those of us who have been there, amen, maybe even walked away, come back, but those of us who have our minds made up that no matter what comes, we're not going to walk away from our relationship with this covenant God. Though all hell assail me, I shall not be moved. David said, my heart is fixed on you, O God. I may stumble and I may fall, and I recognize my weakness, and I understand my potential to fall and fail, but I have my mind set. My mind is regulated, even when chaos ensues. Even when things around me are unsettled, amen, my mind is connected to my heart, which says, my God is a faithful God. He is a sovereign God. And I have no way, man, thinking of giving up. Hallelujah. It's when I die to self, when I begin to say, God, not my will, but your will be done. Even when I don't like it, even when I don't feel his presence, when I don't see him in the details, even when I can't hear him, amen, not only because of all the noise, but even the stillness and the calm, you still can't hear him. That's when, hallelujah, the vultures show up. That's when those demons and the enemy comes in. Somebody better help dead. He said if we're lukewarm, he'll spew us out of his mouth. Vultures don't circle and wait for something to die. They're not going to wait on you, amen, to decide that, amen, you will do and I will follow Jesus. Though the world may not understand, I will follow Jesus. If mom don't go, it's not going to hinder me. If dad don't go, it's not going to hinder me. They don't circle and wait for the sacrifice to be made, but they only come after, amen, the sacrifice, after the flesh has been killed, after the distractions have been laid aside, after all the storms and the trials, and you've learned to become content in whatever state you're in. That's when the vultures show up. I don't know who all I'm talking to today besides me, but I'm here to tell you, amen, they know by their keen sense of smell when something has died. They don't prefer, they don't like rotting flesh. They prefer fresh carcasses. See, the enemy doesn't care about the sacrifices you made 10 years ago. Hell is not concerned about what you sacrificed 2 years ago or what you said you would or would not do. Are you hearing me? Hallelujah. They don't like rotting meat. Now, they can eat it because, amen, their system and their stomachs, amen, are created to endure it. But they don't like it. They like fresh carcasses. This is why when we make up our mind and we do, amen, surrender our will to his, the enemy is going to show up. It's not before you make that sacrifice, but it's after, because they like the fresh carcasses. Let me tell you something, vultures, amen, but you say, what about our growth in the Lord? What about, amen, all the teaching and the talking and the Bible talks about maturing and growing in the Lord? Can I tell you, every step you grow, every level and dimension that you move higher in the Lord, it involves more sacrifice. You'll never get to the place where you'll go from here to where, amen, it can be until you are out of here. So every place and level of growth will require more sacrifice. Somebody help me. Because you see, it's interesting that vultures can fly up to 37,000 feet high. Amen. They use thermal updrafts to gain altitude without minimal effort. Amen. When I saw that, I thought, what exactly is a thermal updraft? I'm glad you asked, because it is a column of air that rises because it's less dense than the surrounding cooler air, but it's caused by localized heating of the ground by the sun. Amen. So the sun is a vital part of the vulture's ability to rise higher and higher. Ain't no mountain high enough. Come on, somebody. Are you hearing me? We think when we get up on a mountain, amen, that things are well. But can I tell you, amen, that the heat from the sun, amen, that heats the ground, the vulture takes advantage, amen, of that heat. Takes advantage of that, and he uses that thermal updraft to where it doesn't take much effort for him to rise and to go as high as the ground is heated. I need somebody to help me understand, amen, and realize that no matter how high you go in God, the vulture is going to be able to get there. Why? Because the vulture wants the dead flesh, and it's this flesh that we have to yield and surrender to God. And the higher we go, the more of our flesh that needs to be surrendered. Come on, somebody, do you hear me? Hallelujah. So when you're in a desert place, somebody help me, where the sun is beating down and the heat is intense, amen, all that's doing is creating an atmosphere for the vulture to begin to rise. I need somebody, that when God brings you out, that vulture, amen, will rise right along, and he wants your sacrifice. I come to tell somebody that Job said, go back to verse 7 in Job 28. Job said, there's a path which no fowl knows, and which the vulture's eye has not seen. He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High God shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. The vulture might rise, but greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Somebody give the Lord a shout of praise in this place, because his covenant is from everlasting to everlasting. He will sustain those who want to be sustained. Be nice to think, you know, we preached a couple of weeks ago about wearing out the enemy. It would be nice to think that he would just give up, but he wouldn't. It's interesting that vultures will travel up to 200 miles a day looking for dead flesh. Abel, 200 miles a day. They will travel looking for fresh, dead meat. Looking for someone who has said, Lord, I surrender all. Not my will, but yours be accomplished. It's not about me, but it's about your will. As I began to do some research on the vulture, I discovered, see, they're scavengers. They're not predators, they're scavengers, because they're looking for dead carcass, dead flesh. They don't want flesh that's dying. Or do they want flesh that's alive? They're not a predator. They're not seeking for prey, but they're scavengers. And they start scavenging several hours after sunrise. Because when the sun begins to rise, a vulture will wait for the sun to create a thermal updraft. Because again, as the ground is heated, it begins to give that vulture the ability to rise without a whole lot of effort. And there's something called a heraldic pose, where the vulture spreads its wings wide to get warmed up, but to also bake off parasites from a cool night. So the vulture depends on the rising of the sun. The vulture depends on the consistency and the permanency of the sun never failing to rise. As sure as the sun rose this morning, it's going to rise tomorrow That's one thing that no one, no matter what they doubt, no matter what they believe or don't believe, cannot dispute. And they don't even think about it. No one ever gets up thinking the sun's not going to rise today. Because it has to. Because that's God's universal law. The enemy knows that night cannot last forever. The enemy knows that there will always be a dawn that will break through the piercing darkness of the midnight. And so he will wait for that to happen and take advantage of that opportunity. Because you see, it's when we say, thy will be done, the vultures show up. Remember when Jesus fasted 40 days, and after he fasted 40 days in the wilderness, the enemy showed up in person. After he said, God, not my will, I know what you sent me here for, and I know what my purpose is. But don't let anything hinder. And the vulture showed up in person because there was fresh, dead flesh. Can I say it like that? It's interesting, some things about vultures, is that when they go in and they begin to feed off of the carrion, the dead flesh, or that fresh carcass, they eat the softest parts first. They usually begin with the eye. Because their goal is that they go for the orifices for easy access. If you don't know what I mean by orifices, it would be the eyes, the mouth, and the anus. That's what they go for first, because it's the softest part. And they begin to eat out the eye. And I thought about that. How the enemy wants to blur our vision. When we can't see the will of God. When we know he has a will. And when we understand that he has to have our will first in order for his will to be complete. We understand all that. That's not the issue. Amen. But we don't see him. We don't see what God is doing. And when we don't see things, we're it's much easier to believe when we see, right? So it makes sense that when, amen, we begin to make that sacrifice, and we begin to lay aside the distractions and the excuses, and we begin to give our flesh over unto the Spirit and say, God, do with what me what you need to, what you will. One of the first things the vulture will go after is our vision. And I'm not talking about a vision like for a man of ministry or even, not that he doesn't do that, but that's not what I'm talking about, because not everyone has that kind of vision. But we all have a vision of who God is and what his word says he will do. Are you hearing me? And when we look for God in the details and we don't see him, it's easy for us to get discouraged. Amen. And so he goes into those orifices for quick entry. Amen. Into the body. Why does the vulture do that? Because he wants the organs. He wants the guts. He wants the insides. He wants to to get the heart and the stomach and the intestines and the liver and the kidneys. He wants to get all of those things. Amen. That's a sign of life. Are you hearing me? Hallelujah. To consume, amen, everything so that, amen, it can't be used by God. Are you hearing me? Hallelujah. And then after the eyes, amen, a vulture will typically go into the mouth. Makes sense. It's all right there together. Amen. Goes from the eyes to the mouth. And I thought about what's in our mouth. Of course, our teeth. Amen. But the most important thing that's in our mouth is the tongue. What does our tongue do? It gives us the ability to say. It gives us the ability to speak. Well, somebody better help me in this place. And so the enemy goes after our vision when we can't see God. Then he wants to take the words out of our mouth. What words should come out of the mouth of every believer? Words of praise and worship and honor. Come on, somebody. Do I got any blind praisers in the house? Anybody that even though you don't see what God is doing, even though you can't comprehend what's happening and what's going on, the enemy is not going to take your praise. You don't like life. You don't like what life is doing, but you still got a praise in your mouth. I said, have I got any blind praisers? I may not see what he's doing, but I know who he is, and he is forever faithful. He remains sovereign, holy, and just. Ah, somebody, give him a shout that he's worthy of in this place today. Vultures, those demons that show up when the real commitment is made to God. I said it last week, we read the scripture, amen, out of Job again, when Job said, when I look to the north, I don't see him. When I look to the south, I don't detect his presence. When I look to the east and the west, I don't see evidence of him being there. But even though he slay me, yet will I trust him. I know my Redeemer lives. Come on, somebody, do you hear me? So even when I can't see God, every direction that I turn, everywhere I look, it looks as if he's not there. So, you know, when you see he's not there, maybe you just know you don't go that direction. Then you look the other way, and you don't see him, so you don't go that direction. Then you look the other way, and you don't detect him, and you don't see any evidence, so you don't go that way. Now you got one way left to go, but when you look that direction, it looks like he's not even there. Come on, somebody. Oh, do you hear me? Hallelujah, but you still gotta praise. Though Job was covered from head to toe with boils, and he sat in the ashes, he said, I will trust him. His wife said, Job, just curse God and die. He said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him.
Amen.
Talk about the vultures. Are you hearing me? I'm trying to finish. There's 23 species of vultures. 23 known species. And all but one can get scared away by loud noises. All but one species of vulture will get scared away by loud noises, banging objects together, waving your arms and screaming, air horns, loud music, but it must be consistent.
Right.
Shout unto the Lord with a voice of triumph, all ye people. God didn't tell us to shall. He said, just shout. Come on, somebody. So that means when you're up here, you're down here, when you turn all directions and you don't see him, you don't feel him. Hallelujah. Even though you've surrendered and you've yielded, yet you're not seeing evidence. Amen. I'll turn around and change. Hallelujah. You still shout unto the Lord. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Loud noises will scare away 22 of the 23 species of vultures. But you have to do it consistently. Don't you catch this? Particularly at dusk, when the sun is going down. That will prevent them from settling on your property at night. You might get that next Sunday. I said, as the sun is going down, we already talked about where the vulture comes in when the sun is coming up. Somebody better help me. Hallelujah. Amen. But if you want to get them, the best way to get them to stay away from your property, amen, is to consistently at dusk, as the sun is setting, to begin to make those loud noises. Begin waving your arms, banging pots and pans, blowing, turning on loud music. Do it consistently. You can't do it for three evenings in a row and then skip an evening or two and not expect them to come back. But you got to do it every evening. I need somebody to help me. When I read that, the Spirit instantly took me to David's psalm that said, from the rising of the sun till the setting of the same one, not any sun, but the sun that you saw rise in the day. As you see that sun rise, as that same sun in that same day is going down, let the name of the Lord be praised. So you gotta consistently ask somebody, help me. If you're gonna, the vultures are gonna come, but a way to keep them off of your house, your family, your children, your finances. Somebody better help me. The way to keep them away is to consistently, every day, from the time you get up till the time you go to bed, give the Lord the honor, the praise, the glory. Give him your day and drive away the vultures.
Yes, hallelujah.
Who knew the sun played such an important role in a vulture's life or existence, their continued. See, they want to be there when the sun is rising, and they'll show up when the sun sets so they can be ready when the sun comes up. Somebody better help me. Because they'll spread their wings. Let the sun warm them up. Kill off that bacteria. Heat up the ground. And then they'll begin to rise. And begin to smell and look for fresh carcasses. See, Abraham drove them away. And I thought it was interesting that they came as the sun was going down. And God didn't come until the sun had set. God showed up during the night season. God showed up for Abraham's sacrifice in the night season. Abraham waited. And when he saw the vultures show up, he drove them away. They're not going to eat the sacrifice before God gets a chance to take it and use it for his glory. Are you hearing me today? That phrase, drove them away, is in Hebrew, it's the word nashab. And it literally means blow like the wind. I thought, whew, wouldn't it be awesome if Abraham would have had a shofar? Huh? He didn't have one yet, because the first shofar showed up when he went to offer Isaac up on Mount Moriah. Yeah. You know, we've talked about that before. That Jewish tradition believes that God took that ram's horn, and that's going to be the horn that's going to sound the alarm when the Messiah comes. Who knows? And I rightly don't care. I just know he's coming. And he can use whatever horn he wants. But I thought it took motion, it took action. I don't believe that Abraham sat there and went, shoot! Get! But I kind of think of maybe he did like Rizpah did when her sons were hanging on the gallows for something they didn't do. And the vultures came and circled their bodies and tried to eat them. And the Bible says she held a vigil. She stayed up all night and she shooed them away from her sons. I believe since it's the word nashab, to blow like wind, there was force. There was something that Abraham did, whether he picked something up and did it and caused wind, or just from his words and his actions, flailing his arms, doing whatever. But he did what it took to drive them away. He made noise. Come on. If noise scares vultures today, it scared vultures then. You can't convince me any different. So he made all kinds of noise, racket, motion, whatever, and drove them away. But there's that one species of vulture that doesn't always fly away at the noise. And I began to research that. And that is the black vulture. Now, it's not that noise will not cause it to fly away. It's not that noise will not startle or scare that vulture. It's just that particular vulture, over time, can become accustomed to the noise. To where eventually he doesn't take it serious. Eventually he thinks, oh, it's Sunday. They're always like that on Sunday. Oh, somebody help me. Oh, it's Monday. Ain't had time to apply Sunday's word. They ain't had time yet. It's not there. Oh. They always say the right thing. We're always making that noise. So that means we got to follow through. Not make it just be noise. Not mere words, because in the moment we're feeling it. We're caught up in the emotion of the moment. Come on, somebody. We've all been there. Even in church. They caught up in the emotion of it. Yes, Lord, you can have it all. Oh, God, I lay it before you. Lay it before God. It's yours, it's yours. And then we don't follow through.
Right.
And so there'll come a point when that black vulture might fly away first few times. Then he's like, oh, wait a minute. I recognize that noise. I've heard those words before. Somebody help me. Talking from the pulpit to the parking lot. So that means we got to follow through from the sanctuary to the secret place, but also from the secret place to the sanctuary. When we say, yes, Lord, when we surrender our will and we say, okay, God, I will lay it down, we got to follow through. Or there's always going to be that one demonic spirit that's not going to take you serious. So you have to keep doing it. Even when you don't see the fruit of it. Even when you're not, even if it lasts 1, 2, 3, 4 years, even if the season is longer than you ever imagined, you just have to keep doing it. I will trust you, Lord. You have to resist the black vulture by being determined to destroy it if necessary. That's a whole other level.
Right.
Come on, somebody. You have to resist that black vulture by being determined to destroy it if necessary. Now, the black vulture is protected under Migratory Bird Treaty Act. So you can't kill it. It's against the law. But a permit to destroy them can be granted if it's a lethal situation. If they're causing harm to the livestock or damaging property, and they do it enough to where it's going to affect the livelihood and affect those around, a permit will be given to destroy the black vulture. So you've got permission. When God walked through that sacrifice of Abraham and made covenant with him and said, your seed shall receive the inheritance. And Jesus died and came and fulfilled it once and for all by the shedding of his blood. Now he has grafted in Jew and Gentile and made us one new man. So it's not just a certain group or a certain sect or a certain denomination or a certain religious affiliation, but it's whosoever will that comes, amen, and comes into a right relationship. You now have permission. Hallelujah. Jesus defeated, amen, the enemy. And 1 Peter says he put his foot on his neck and made an open display of his destruction. Now we can tread upon the enemy, upon serpents. One, amen, that demon, that one, the enemy comes and he gets accustomed to your praise. You still gotta praise him anyhow. You still gotta do it, but hold on, because you've been given permission. You're permitted by the blood of Jesus that no weapon formed against you shall prosper. This is your heritage, that you have the power to destroy that blood. So God has got a remedy for the vulture. I know what it feels like to be weary of sacrifice, mm-hmm. to be weary, to feel tired, to become, you can become complacent with surrendering your flesh. Come on, somebody. Yeah. But that vulture knows who's serious. Yeah. Can I tell you, he wouldn't show up if he didn't smell a fresh carcass. Yeah. You get that later. That vulture would not show up if he didn't smell the death of flesh. See, we have to drive away the vultures by offering ourselves to greater sacrifice. And it's not optional. It's not optional. We never get to the place where it's enough. Paul said, I die each day. I'm crucified with Christ. And it's Christ in me. Revelation 19, you say, well, what if I don't? Well, you just might find yourself a meal for the vultures. Because Revelation 19, speaking about when the end comes, says the vultures will eat the flesh of kings. They will eat the flesh of generals. They will eat the flesh of important men. Mm-hmm. They will eat the flesh of horses and their riders and all kinds of people mm-hmm. at the end. So we've got something in us, the wind, the breath, the ruach of God in us. To drive away the vultures. They only come for flesh that's already sacrificed. And we got to drive them away no matter how much they show up. But there'll come a point when victory will come in its fullness. Job said again, pull that verse up again. I like that verse. There's a path that no fowl knows, and the vulture's eye has not seen. Amen. As the vultures came to eat the fresh carcasses of the animals that Abraham sacrificed, split them in two, lay them half on each side, made a path. God came down that path. Those vultures came to try and eat that, those carcasses. But Abraham drove them away. We've got to drive away the vultures. He said, get ready to come to the music. I realize that there could be someone here today who haven't made that commitment to a relationship with the Lord. You haven't said yes to the gift of salvation that was so graciously given through the sacrifice of Jesus. So if that's you in here today, you haven't made that commitment. Today's your day. Today's your day. Because you see, you haven't had to deal with vultures, because vultures only white flesh that's dead. But I promise you, you've dealt with the lion. That lion has sought after you to destroy you. And your life completely before you were ever able to experience the fullness of the love of God through the laying down of your life in exchange for His. That's why the lion chases after you and I, because he's trying to get us before we surrender our will more and more. If that makes sense to you today. So as they get ready to worship, I'm going to ask everyone to stand that's able today to stand. And if you're here and you haven't made that commitment to